This is a Johnny Happ production. November 2nd, 2004, George W. Bush weaseled his way into another, quote, election victory, unquote. November 2nd, 2005, and the one-year anniversary of that criminal act, they took to the streets all across these United States to say the world can't wait, the Bush regime must go now. It's a movement that's growing worldwide against tyranny, against the hijacking of the people's government. You can check them out at worldcantwait.net. worldcantwait.net. Here's some sounds from the city streets in Chicago, where over 2,000 gathered in the Federal Plaza to demand an end to the George W. Bush presidency. We begin at the rally where Juan Torres, whose son was killed in Afghanistan, is telling the audience how they would not allow him to place a photo of his dead son at Arlington Cemetery because it was, quote, political.
Inside the cemetery. So why? Because it's politic. So why politic? This kid is dying for this country. I'm sorry, we have a government orange. This is politic. Suffer said Cindy, she's passed out. She said, I want to send to everywhere, only me, because you can't do it like this. And the military said, the security service say, I'm so sorry. Everything is solution with sorry. But this group of the three car police, they follow to us everywhere, wherever you want, like criminal. And finally, I have to put a couple of flowers inside the Arlington Cemetery. So, it's only one media, they permit to go inside. But when the media go outside, the police, they wait, and they take the film. Say, because we cannot pass this, because it's politic. And I told the guy, the policeman, so, what kind of democracy in this country? Where's the democracy in this country? These kids is dying for this country, and they don't permit to go inside the cemetery. Where do we live? Yeah, and I think they look at me like 1935 something in Soviet Union. It's almost the same.
Bring back Saddam.
Finally, yes. And I bring say last week, I'm very sad, you know? Because after we go to the Iraqi embassy, we send a lot of flowers. We receive something, the guy, I don't know who is in, but they say thank you. We're very sad because we're losing something solid in Iraq. A lot of people from my country, the guy mentioned me. I'm finally, okay, we're coming back. And the night, they arrest me and Cindy, a couple more friends. So, in the White House. It's not much problem, you know, also the police, they treat very good, beautiful. And only we got to pay $75. So, couple of days ago, or maybe 5 days ago, the White Sox is win, right? Wow. Congratulations. Everybody celebrate. The mayor daily, they give permission for the kids, for everybody coming to here to celebrate. Well, it's wonderful. Everybody celebrate. But what in American people, they don't take care of what really happened in this country. What the American people, they take care of what's happening inside the house, how much money we have in our pocket, what kind of new car I have, the new technology. But the American people, they don't open the door. We are really happy here. But finally, I want to see these people who celebrate last week here. Because they celebrate, but we're going to be celebrate something the Bush regiment out. I will take more much time, but I say the President Bush, November 4th, he's in Argentina, when the country I born. And I love my country, and I love America too. Yeah. And I say in Argentina, something happened now with the military, the president, whatever happened in Argentina, the Argentina people have power for push the military to send to the military and president, whatever, to the prison. But this country, the people, they're interested more on the technology, more money, new car. They don't interested about over 2,000 kids die. In Argentina now, November 4, if you want to watch the TV, I don't know, CNN or whatever, what media covered up everything, you know? This is very important too. This is a national strike. And I received last night some media from some people from Argentina. They were over 5 million people around the country protest about the why Bush go to Argentina. And finally, I say thank you. And now we'll see around 500 people maybe. And tomorrow, we need to continue. We don't need to stop. And I'm finally, next time, I'm going to see maybe 2,000, 3,000, a million people here. Thank you.
Yes! Well, we have news that students from Winnie Mandela High School are here. They're in the hall.
Summer College is going to read what he would have read if he could be here.
Like Shed, she said that I'm reading a speech from Emilio. He goes to Clemente High School. He was denied freedom of speech and freedom to assemble today. So this is what he has to say today. Corruption, an egotistic, fascist government who thrive on the torturing of others. Putrid are the minds of those who have the blood of the tortured and innocent running through their veins. A oppressive group of unscrupulous genocidal tyrants are anything but shy when the shrill of cry of its people desperately plead to stop this irrelevant to war. Day by day, we watch increasingly a gallery of murder. Marriage is set before our eyes that prosperity can come about from the relentless suffering of other human beings. Over time, the horrors become obscure, and people begin to blindly live their lives again with a vague description of what is still going on. This is what they do. They jumble up the facts so that unaware Americans do not know the cold, hard truth. But we are here today to show the world that we are aware, that we are conscious, and we are fighting not only along the side of them, for them, but for ourselves and our freedoms as well. We are not going to sit back like Germans during the Holocaust and let the Nazis take over our country. It has been said that history does not repeat itself, but it could damn well be mimicked. These are the people high in our hierarchy system. These power-hungry tyrants have only the policy on their agenda, and that is to destroy and conquer. Why should I sit back and let myself be part of this agenda? We must let the world know that we are here. We won't be like the apathetic Germans during the Holocaust, that we do not support this odious ruler, and that we do not support his militaristic views. Why must the United States be censored from the truth and reality? Why do they try and hide the sadistic killings and the racial discrimination that the government is promoting? If the people need to see the number of coffins filled with Americans who fought a fight for coward bureaucrats, I said, let them see them. The media is just a pawn in the sick war games that the government is playing. Why do these things need to be censored and sugarcoated? Why do they ostracize the American public from reality? Bush is a powerful venom. He kills, but he can be stopped. He creeps through the wound into the body, Our congregation is the band around the swelling, bleeding wound to stop the spread of the venom. And our cry is the medicine much needed to stop the effects of the poison. I am proud to be an American, but I'm ashamed to know that the ruler of this land is an imperialistic monster followed by bloody, thirsty priest. I am ashamed that Bush currently uses our name as alias for his heinous crimes. Because of this, we the people of the United States are deemed responsible by the rest of the world for his abhorrent actions. We are held responsible for torture, responsible for the number of children, responsible for the death of 2,000 of our troops, responsible for making families cry and grieve and torment, responsible for leaving motherless and fatherless children, responsible for leaving a trail of orphans, responsible for the death of American civilians in the southeastern part of the United States. They see their blood in our hands. To them, we are terrorists. We are genocidal maniacs. Is this true?
No!
We have been dedicated to this. This is not a dream. This is real. This man has befooled our name. This is not freedom. Since when has oppression been freedom? I am ashamed that we are playing and that people would think this way and hate us because of one man and his regime. I am ashamed that the whole city isn't here. For the people who understand the seriousness and urgency, know that many of us, despite the fact that we put our graduation at stake to be here, let it be known that we could have used this day as a scapegoat to go home or someplace else. We care and understand that we must be here. We are the educated group, youth of America. We are the future of this country, and the future is here now. We are here with our knowledge and power to resist against these oppressors, and are taking part in the world can't wait drive out the Bush regime. Let George W. Bush know that Emilio Villalobos, a senior at Roberto Clemente High School, he is going to fight against him and all that he stands for. We are here. We are resisting. We will go down without a. We won't go down without a fight. And we will not be silenced. These were the words of Emilio Villalobos. He could not be here today, but he is here with us in spirit. I would also like to say something in Spanish. I would like to speak for the Hispanic community of this country. Not only this state, but the whole country. We are tired of being lower class citizens, taking jobs that no one wants to take, our cheap labor and the oppression of our class is a crucial backbone of this economic status that the United States possess. We help the economic status of this country. We should not be seen as lower class citizens. No more exploitation for us. We are here. We are part of this country. Notice us.
Thank you very much. We have just latest word in is that some students from Clemente High School have been able to make their way here. So anyway. So we're going to have a short statement from Dr. Quentin Jones, physician, public health advocate, and regular contributor to WBEZ. It's going to be a recorded statement. Dr. Quentin Young.
¡Viva la guerra!
year of this administration's reign, the number of uninsured has risen by a huge amount. Presently, 46 million Americans without health insurance. In any given year, 70 million people experience this very dangerous state. We know that we are spending the money more than twice as much as any country in the world per capita, and yet we have so many people in this disabled state. The problem is getting worse regularly, and the very health status of the American people is at stake. This administration has no solutions. Indeed, the things they propose to do make the problem much worse. For example, having run up historically high deficits for the military misadventures of this government, they now propose to fix it by taking money out of the underfunded Medicaid program and even attacking our much cherished Medicare program. These kinds of vision for America lead only to making us a backward nation and an unhealthy one. We need a health system that involves everybody. Everybody in, nobody out. We have the resources to do it. It's only because they bow before the huge power of the drug industry, the for-profit hospitals, and the for-profit medical chains. We have to bring an end to that. I want to talk about another very important health problem, particularly because the nomination of Judge Sam Alito is the basis for an end of the cherished rights of women, indeed of the whole society. I speak of the right to choose, the right of a woman to have control of her body. The theocrats and the ideologues would like to impose their ideas on the entire population. My view on abortion is, if you don't believe in abortion, don't have one. But for goodness sakes, don't interfere with the rest of the population's natural rights. I want to hark back to my earliest days when I finished my medical school and entered Cook County Hospital. In 1947, my very first service was obstetrics. I was on for 2 months. We spent 20 days on each of three services. One was normal OB, healthy women ready to have their babies. The other was pathological OB, path OB for sure. These were women who had other illnesses besides being pregnant, like tuberculosis or like kidney trouble or heart disease. And the third service, one third of all our work, was called septic OB. This was the whole stream of women who came in from every part of the county with abortions that were performed by criminal elements or by self-induced by themselves. This tragic stream of women was huge, and it was the one service at Cook County Hospital that wasn't only for poor people. We had women from every walk of life, from the Gold Coast to the slums. And it was a parade that I will never forget, because it taught me as a young doctor that women, since as long as we have history, have abortions. The question is, will it be safe and medically sound, or will these women be sacrificed to actually lose their lives, lose their fertilities, have a life of pain because society arbitrarily denies them the choice? I know where I stand. I hope you all agree with me. We have to stop this removal of a cherished right that was so dearly bought through the courts and Roe v. Wade. We must succeed here. This administration seriously says they're going to take that right away. We can't let it happen.
Thank you, Dr. Clinton Young. Our next speaker is Karen Fiore. She's a pro-choice activist. Karen. Hey, let's not lose the feel of this thing. Let's have a quick chat, all right? We'll get ready for when we're marching. Goes like this, H-I-S-T-O-R-Y. History says resist or die. Let's go. H-I-S-T-O-R-Y. History says resist or die.
H-I-S-T-O-R-Y. History says resist or die. H-I-S-T-O-R-Y. History says resist or die.
the co-founder of the Chicago chapter of the Interfaith Alliance.
Hello, I am thankful to stand here before you today. I'm thankful for the beautiful weather that we have, and thankful for everyone who came out and took a stand for our country. I'm thankful for the organizers of this event that is going on nationwide to start a new revolution, start a new way of being with each other. We are in a battle today. We're in a battle between the extremes, the fanatics. We're caught between those who use religious language and theological ideas to bully, frighten, control, kill, and oppress anyone who stands against them and anyone who speaks out against them. These people are power hungry. These people are intolerant. These people spread chaos and thrive and work best where we are confused and where issues are blurred together.
That's the truth.
These people are not the majority. We are the majority. We own this country. We dictate what this country is. We dictate how we are with each other and how we are seen to the world. We are living in a threat of the establishment of a theocracy in the United States. We are living in the threat of the United States becoming a state run by a theocracy. Theocracy knocks at our doors. Theocracy knocks each time a religious leader stands in a pulpit and promotes a religious agenda. Theocracy knocks each time our political leaders use religious rhetoric to justify their actions. Theocracy. The Webster defines theocracy as a government by divine guidance or by officials who are regarded as divinely guided. Let me give you an example. General Borkin, military leader, has gone around to churches and spoken at revivals and told people that we were in a holy war. Has equated America and called America a Christian nation battling Satan. He said that America's Muslim adversaries will be defeated only if we come against them in the name of Jesus. That is an example of how we are threatened. We are caught. We are caught between the extremes. And it's time to come together, just as we have, and start our revolution. Today, right now, start. It's time for us to look at each other and stop feeding into the contrived battles between God and Satan, black and white. It's time to leave our made-up interpretation, movie images of good guy and bad guy. and start to realize that we are humans. And we are being used by power-hungry, unethical men and women who will not rest until their version of how things should be are established as the norm. Theocracy. I ask that you join us, join me in demanding that our political leaders stop using religious rhetoric to justify their actions and start recognizing what ethical standards their actions reflect. How ethical is it that the leaders, religious leaders, use their power to oppress the rights of those of us who are American and lesbian and gay? We're all of that. How ethical is it that the President of the United States did not have a clue about the destruction and human misery that was brought on by Katrina alone? Until there was a loud outcry for his attention. How ethical is that? What ethical standards does the actions of our president reflect? Those are the questions we need to ask. It's time for our revolution. I can't wait any longer. I won't wait any longer. The world won't wait any longer.
Thank you, Deborah. Our next speaker will be Stan Willis from the National Conference of Black Warriors. Welcome, Stan.
Freedom-loving Chicago police officers that are here. We're attempting to stay on schedule, so I'll be very brief. As we pay special tribute to that warrior, Rosa Parks, we recognize that in paying a tribute to Rosa Parks, that Rosa Parks and the people of Montgomery recognized at the time a historical responsibility. And they undertook that historical responsibility and advanced freedom and social good at that time. And that's an important lesson to us today. Because we have a historical responsibility. People all over the country, I understand in over 100 cities, are meeting at this very hour. People are gathering to lock arms and take responsibility to turn around the path that this country is moving into, the fascist, anti-democratic path, and to move the people of this country, this government, into a democratic, social responsible path. That's our responsibility. We must declare to the world that American people will not no longer accept a government that violates violates international human rights, violates the U.S. Constitution and the laws of this country. Those people who authorize torture of people who are in prison in Abu Ghraib, in Guantanamo Bay, and indeed in Chicago, we are declared to the world that these are violations of international human rights and they must be stopped. We are aware that torture of people, when you put bags over people's heads, when you shock them in their genital areas and in their earlobes, that's a violation of the Third Amendment to the Geneva Convention. That's a violation of the United Nations Convention Against Torture. That's a violation of the Organization of American States Against Torture, and we must not allow it to continue to happen. Be not deceived. This is a crucial time in history. We are taking to initiative. The world can't wait. We must take the initiative. But be not deceived. Bush has suffered some political defeats lately. To be sure. His Supreme Court nominee was denied. Scooter has been indicted. There are some threats of more indictments. But be clear that a wounded dog is just a desperate animal. And the fact that he's wounded doesn't mean he's going to give up. We must make it clear. When Bush says in response to questions about Iraq, and he says we must keep moving forward, we must say that we must stop right now. When Bush says
it must be true
that we must stay the course, we must say the people will change the course. It is said that Bush doesn't have an exit strategy. We must say that we will give Bush an exit. Bush must have an exit. He must be removed from office. He must be indicted, and he must stand trial.
Can the world wait? What do we need? What's on the agenda right now? Drive out the Bush regime. Hey, look, we got a very, very important practical matter to take care of, and we can't do this what we aim to do and what we're going to do unless we have money to do it. And we all know that that's an enormously important political act. It's a political act, and people are going to be going through the crowd here with buckets. So you need to dig deep and recognize that being here is your political statement, and this is an extension of that political statement, so that we can use the various avenues of media and other things that are necessary to put out the money for to do what we need to do in the months to come. So, funds. Now.
I'd also like to make sure that everyone knows that Oak Park River Forest High School is in the house. And I'm actually one of the coordinators for Chicago Area Code Pink. I don't know if you can tell, but I'm here to speak to you as a mother. And as an anti-war activist, I'm a bit of a Johnny-come-lately.
Join this movement. Now, before you leave today, We ask you to sign up to become a member of the World Can't Wait movement. There will be weekly meetings on Saturday at the Acme Building on Western Avenue. There are flyers in the back of the World Can't Wait tent. Pick them up. When you get home or go back to work or back to whatever you're doing, please check out the website, www.worldcan'twait.org. You can follow the results of this day on the website, see what's happening in 67 cities across the country, post your own opinions, post your own actions, and we encourage you to check back regularly. Today we're asking you to put your shoulder to the wheel, contribute your energy and momentum. People power is what will throw out the Bush regime. If you can afford it, we ask you to give money, because a little money can't hurt either. And in fact, it is essential. So we ask you to bring your ideas to these follow-up meetings. We ask you to bring your generosity of spirit, your concern, your creativity, your energy and enthusiasm to drive out the Bush regime. There's a wide coalition of people here today whose voices can no longer be silenced. Like many of you, like some of you, I saw myself as a progressive Democrat. A frustrated Democrat. But a person with eyes wide open. I was frustrated that this government and how it
could get away with it.
Atrocities, murder, torture, lies, all of which led us into this war, while keeping its own people in economic servitude in this country. I am appalled by the lack of reasoned debate in a culture of soundbite and hype. I am appalled by complicity of the media and the lack of exposure to the lies and deception from this regime. We want to see things changed, and we're not going to wait for our next election. So I was looking for a vehicle. I was looking for a vehicle to channel real opposition, energy, and anger. My concern in joining any political movement. Actually, important practical considerations such as who's going to watch my kid while I'm at a meeting? How can I get out of work to attend a demo? I don't really have the time, to be perfectly honest. And what can one person do anyways? Quite a bit, in fact. Just ask Rosa Parks. One person with incredible courage who changed the world. This movement that calls for individual action culminates in collective mass demonstration. And at these World Can't Wait meetings, I've heard lifelong activists talk about their experience with other campaigns and how this one feels different. This campaign, this movement is different because the times that we are living in are so threatening. All is at stake here, and it's never been worse. One remark by an activist has stuck with me. They said if these boys get their way, they'll make 1984 look like a cakewalk. So I became involved, we became involved as individuals to come together collectively, and like you, we have no choice but to resist. We have no choice but to object to the whole agenda of the Bush regime. This government does not represent us. This culture of greed, bigotry, ignorance is all that we despise. What you have in your hands, the call, the World Can't Wait, drive out the Bush regime call, is the basis of our unity. This is what we will achieve together. We can drive out the Bush regime because the majority of the people in the United States think so. That is democracy. The majority of the people oppose the war in Iraq. The majority of the people refuse internment and torture. We refuse poverty and repression, as witnessed by Hurricane Katrina. We reject the nomination of judicial activists who are empowered to overturn laws, taking away the right to an abortion. We object to greed, to bigotry, to intolerance and ignorance. George Bush, you and your cronies are simply not good enough. You're not good enough. It's not acceptable any longer. We reject your agenda, and we are not a passive people. Listen, we have a special announcement to make today regarding the next steps for this movement. These are our next steps. Today we are serving notice that George W. Bush must step down, get out, and take his program with him. We are further serving notice that this January, we intend to make this resolution resound throughout the country. Now we remember how Bush used his State of the Union in 2003 to make his line case for the war in Iraq. We know that he will want to use this year to lay out his plans for another year of literally horrific atrocities and set the political terms for this country. But imagine this. A movement spreading in the next 2 months that demands that Bush step down. Movement growing, getting more organized, reaching deeper into the country, and reverberating around the world with the simple phrase that Bush step down. A movement that Bush steps to the podium politically drowns out his message, drowns out his address with the simple demand that Bush step down. And on the day and night of the State of the Union address, even more thousands and tens of thousands, even hundreds of thousands, take the streets demanding that Bush step down! We'll be saying step down! We'll be saying step down and take your program with you. That's right, take the whole program with you. And we'll be chanting, step down, step down! Bush must go! Drive out the Bush regime! Step down! Step down! Bush must go! Drive out the Bush regime! Step down! Step down! Bush must go!
You are not Americans! God bless America!
Does so many wonderful things come, like thousands of dead millions in poverty!
Of a movement of resistance across this country. Here's the route that we're going to be going on. You have to turn around and head towards Dearborn. And we'll go down Dearborn, north on Dearborn to Racker Drive. Then we'll go west on Racker Drive, one block to Clark Street. Then we'll come back on Clark Street to the Federal Plaza. The world can't wait. Drive out the Bush regime. Let's go.
Thank you. for you to be here in the street?
I think it's very exciting and energizing.
Think it's going to build a movement?
Well, slowly but surely, yeah. It's much more than it was last year, so.
Think we can get Bush out of the White House before 2008?
That would take a miracle, but it makes me feel better to try.
Yeah, at least we're contributing. We're here speaking. Thanks. What's it mean for you to be here in the street today?
It's very important for me because I know a lot of people in my school are not involved. I'm here kind of standing in the front because I want DePaul people. They're voted the most happy college in the United States 2 years in a row. But I think happy means oblivious. So I'm here representing my school. There are a few of us that are against Bush. It's very important.
What's it mean for you to be here in the street today?
What's it mean for me?
Yeah.
I'm doing something to get that asshole out of his office and the rest of his cronies.
Think we can take back the country?
There may be a possibility in 06, yeah.
What's the best way, you think? Take over the House of Representatives?
Gotta take the House, gotta take the Senate.
Thanks, man. What does it mean for you to be here today?
Well, it's part of who I am. It's part of what I've got to do to be a patriot.
You have faith in the future? You have hope for the future?
I always have hopes for the future, even if I die trying.
You think we can get this regime out of office before the next election?
I'm going to do everything in my breath to make sure that that's a reality. On the other hand, it's not a guarantee, but that wouldn't stop me from doing everything I can do. I always do.
Thanks for
Thank you.